Hey, y'all, welcome back into the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Shannon Gray, and today we have our weekly Creep Beat Report. We're doing that today with Dr. Brent Overman. He is the Center Director for the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Center that's right here in Amarillo. Dr. Overman, thanks for visiting with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all are constantly researching a variety of things that affect agriculture, obviously. And today we're talking about something I don't think we've ever discussed this on the Ag Hour, and that is artificial intelligence. You know, we really think about our lives. We've got artificial intelligence on our phones, whether that be Facebook or Twitter, even, you know, iRobot vacuums these days, Alexa and Siri devices. But it's not something that we can necessarily see, right? So how would you describe artificial intelligence?
Well, artificial intelligence is really what helps us make sense of a wider range of inputs than we would normally be able to accommodate. So if you think about, for example, three-dimensional chess. I grew up playing chess with my dad. I was terrible at it, just on the regular chessboard. And when somebody showed me a three-dimensional chess apparatus and people playing it, I just thought, my mind is completely blown. I would be guessing every step along the way. Artificial intelligence is a way of helping us grapple with the multi-dimensional aspects of our daily experience, not only in agriculture, but in, you know, ordinary daily life. You think about, for example, a fighter pilot. Anymore, the threats to a fighter pilot can come from further and further away. They can come in faster. They're always coming in from places that the fighter pilot can't see. And so what did we put on the head of a fighter pilot? What she's got on her head now is a smart helmet that helps her detect unseen threats and assign priorities to those threats, and then present to her both defensive and offensive options that she can adopt to deal with those threats. And that artificial intelligence that's going on in the background is working all without her having to attend consciously to all of those threats. She can't possibly do that. And artificial intelligence allows her to focus on what she's best at, that is flying the aircraft, and it takes care of assembling all the data and presenting it to her in a way that she can make decisions she can be confident in a timely way.
Okay, yeah. See, both of those examples really put it into perspective for me, so I appreciate that. But when we talk about this, we've been talking about, you know, uses outside of agriculture. So how would artificial intelligence then be adapted to help our farmers and ranchers?
Well, that's a great question, because agriculture looks a lot different than the cockpit of an F-16. But if you think about a farmer that may have irrigation available to him or to her, that farmer's making lots of decisions year-round. What to plant, when to irrigate, how much to irrigate, how much fertilizer to apply, you know, when to harvest. And we want that farmer to be able to make those decisions confidently, but then tailor those decisions to different areas of the field that may perform differently. We used to make decisions on the basis of an entire field. We'll irrigate an inch over the entire field. Well, maybe we have data available to us now that allows that farmer to irrigate more on this part of the field and less on this part of the field, thereby wasting less water, wasting less money to pump the water that would ordinarily have been wasted, and so forth. And so we want to put together machinery that allows that farmer to make confident decisions about allocating his or her resources in a way that can maximize the amount of profit available. So it's not just about precision agriculture, but or precision irrigation, but that to me is the easiest way of thinking about artificial intelligence. Is there a machine that can coach me on when to turn my center pivot on and off, when to turn on and off individual nozzles, how fast to make it go across the field in order to adapt to a variety of things, whether it be diseases blowing in on the wind from other places, or diseases that are emerging in the field that were in the soil, or adapting to a particular market environment where I can't really afford to put out as much nitrogen as I would have ordinarily wanted to do. All of these things represent just information overload to us. And so in the past, we've just defaulted to rules of thumb and our experience. But now we have a lot more data available to us that we can afford, and now we want to figure out how to extract that data. The problem is it's information overload, and we need a machine to help us make sense of it all.
So when I think about artificial intelligence, I kind of think about the future, right? Like what's coming in the future. But really, the future is now. We're already implementing a lot of this. What are some of the things that farmers and ranchers are currently using to help them in terms of artificial intelligence?
Well, right. So we're auto-steering our tractors. Just about all of the big tractors that are being sold or leased in big-time agriculture have machinery on them that allows them to adapt to conditions on the field and keep driving a very, very straight line. We've taken some images over our fields out at Bushland, for example, where we have auto steer availability on our tractors, and you know tractors are not operating on a table smooth field. It's a bumpy field that, and if you run into a pothole in your car, you know that the steering, unless you have some help, the steering is going to be jerked one way or another. Well, artificial intelligence is helping us keep that tractors on the straight line, and it's really amazing what those kinds of machines are able to help us do. And now we sit in the tractor and we can observe a lot of other things going on while the tractor is doing the steering for us using global positioning.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, GPS in a tractor, that's pretty much standard nowadays, right?
That's right.
So how cost-effective really is it to use this type of technology? Obviously, a GPS is something I guess pretty much everyone has if they have a tractor, but what about other forms of AI?
Well, yeah, so what I described earlier about irrigation decisions, we now want to start injecting fertilizer through the irrigation water. Well, that's a tricky thing, and putting it in the right place at the right time. It was hard enough to automate irrigation with just water, but now we're superimposing on that not only the water but the fertility that's going to be provided in the water, or pest management decisions. Those kinds of irrigation machines that can provide not only water but nutrition and perhaps pesticides of various kinds, there's a lot of moving parts there. Valves that could stick, valves that could malfunction for one reason or another. There's a lot of uncertainty out in the field about whether what we have measured at a particular point in the field is accurate. Machines help us deal with that kind of uncertainty as well, in a way that our brains, they're wired to do, but it just takes us longer. A machine can now do it faster than we can.
So talking about this, you know, obviously the point of using more technology is to make our processes more effective, more streamlined. I think that would really cut down on probably labor costs when you look at the fact that, you know, you're paying money up front for a machine that can help you do something. You don't have to hire as much labor for it. Is this something that could, in the future, down the line, create cheaper food costs for the consumer?
Well, I think it probably could. The main thing that we need to, we already don't pay very much for our food. I mean,
right.
We've had cheap food policy for a long time. So really, the stress we have now in the agriculture sector is on the producer, him or herself. And we want to find ways of helping that producer extract additional profitability that can help insulate him or her from changes in the market. I mean, we're talking about very tight margins in agriculture, and so every little piece of data that can help us stack the profitability odds in favor of the producer is something we want to figure out how to take advantage of. And so cheaper food, probably not the most important thing to us. It may be more important in other areas of the world, but certainly keeping sustainability here at home means profitability for the producer. And that's really, I think, where the frontier is for us.
Yeah, no, I love that answer. That's something I actually didn't expect, was you to be like, actually, this is better for the person who grows the food.
Right. And, you know, they're the ones that are in the squeeze. I mean, in an increasingly affluent environment, I have lots of choices when I leave the office at noon for lunch. And sometimes I make the choice to eat someplace that's a little bit more expensive just because I like the quality of it, et cetera. So we have lots of options as consumers. But the amount of money that we are increasingly able to spend on food if we want to doesn't always trickle down to the producers. They're operating on tight margins, and technology is one of the ways we can help them take advantage of little opportunities as they arise in data that we can measure to help them be just a little bit more profitable.
All right. Now, obviously, the words artificial intelligence, that means it's, you know, assessing data and making decisions. Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear those words is the Terminator movies. You know, Skynet taking over, the machines making more decisions than maybe we want them to.
Right.
Is this a risky decision, putting a lot of these decisions on machines to make?
Well, yeah, and that's always going to be a concern. And so the approach I would take to that, to thinking about it, is we want to make these machines our colleagues and our advisors. We don't necessarily want to turn over to them all of the decisions that we make every day all at once and then just hope for the best. It really is, even now with humans and machines, a matter of building trust. And as these machines, what we want is machines that can learn, and that's part of artificial intelligence, is training these machines to make better decisions along the way or to provide more accurate counsel to us. And so, you know, in terms of that irrigation system I was talking about earlier, maybe we don't want to put it on full autopilot for the entire season, but we want that machine to be able to take in all of these data and present us with a couple of scenarios from which we choose. And as the machine shows itself to be more and more trustworthy, as it learns better, as it demonstrates that the decision options that it presents to us are really helpful, then perhaps we feel more and more comfortable turning more and more of that decision-making over to the machine and making it more and more autonomous. That's the direction that agriculture is going. Agricultural research in AI is going to go. It's not going to be a matter of all or nothing. It's a matter of becoming increasingly familiar with and comfortable with the level of autonomy that a farmer grants to a machine. But that machine operates to help that farmer, not to replace him.
Okay, see, and that's was going to be my next question, actually, is, you know, I think a public concern would then be, are machines taking human jobs?
Right, and, you know, that's happening in every economic sector, and I'll leave it to the economists to debate whether or not that we lose some kinds of jobs but increase opportunities for other kinds of jobs. There's going to be a lot of shifts in the market, in the labor market over time. That's really not my area of expertise. But I can say this, that we are already consolidating the agricultural enterprises. There are fewer farms, they're bigger, there are fewer farmers, and we have been trying to figure out how to use machines to replace labor for a long time. And, you know, the economy has a way of adapting to that. But in the meantime, it helps us to reduce our costs, or it helps us to increase our profit margins. And so I would say this is really, in agriculture, it's no different than in any other sector of the economy. We try to automate things that we can automate so that we can direct our resources, our expensive labor resources, to higher, more profitable uses.
All right. Awesome. Well, you know, we really appreciate you taking the time to visit with us today. I'm sure you'll have more information about this as y'all continue researching and as the technology evolves. And Dr. Overman, thanks for visiting with us today.
Thanks so much, Shannon. I appreciate it.
Again, that's Dr. Brent Overman. He is the Center Director for the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Center in Amarillo. For KGNC Agribusiness News, I'm Shannon Gray.